No, I'm one of the I'm the HR manager here, but actually where I work on a full-time paid basis, I'm one of the training delivery managers. So I manage the training delivery, the trainers, the teachers of further education at HMS Salton, but as a contractor. So we have a mixed manning at Salton. We have the Royal Navy themselves who come straight back from sea and bring the equipment expertise. We have the MOD civil servants who deliver the training equipment expertise, and then you've got Babcock who are brought in as a contractor who are training specialists to look at the training that's delivered, what its concept is, what its delivery should be, who we're delivering it to, and which what best to do with it and how to do it.
The sorts of job that are in your gift, what are they?
Engine support or engineering support training for the students. The students coming through are anybody from the new recruits who've just joined the Royal Navy, right the way through to officers who are on their third, fourth, fifth ship and are having new equipment explained to them. So we have the complete breadth of training in there for engineers, and engineers of the mechanical variety.
So, a particular job role, for example, can you give me an example here?
Well, as a trainer, you'll have a level four, which is somewhere between A level, about A levels, A level HNC side in training delivery. Now, how that works, let me explain that first of all. Level one is very much make a cup of tea unaided. Level two is can make a cup of tea and put sugar in and give it to the right person. Level three is I can do that competently now, unaided, just phone it through and I'll do it. Level four is I can explain how I've made it, what I've made it with, and what the benefits of it are. Level five then is how do you produce the leaves to make the tea? Then level seven, there is no level six, and then level seven is a degree style. So that's the sort of gauging of levels that there are. So level four is very much about the science of the subject. So level three would be how to deliver, how you stand up in front of a class, how you actually do the training and the teaching itself. Level four then is how about what happens when it doesn't go right. If you've got special needs or you've got learning difficulties or you've got somebody who doesn't fit with the way that it's being delivered at the moment, how do you then change that training around to deliver what they want? Because as Eduardo said, in about the 80s, I think it was, if they can't learn the way that I teach, then I must teach the way that they learn.
So typically then, what sort of person would qualify to be considered for this role?
First of all, he's got to have a knowledge of engineering, and we look at about a level three, which is somewhere around about the old HNC or the BTEC route of engineering, and it can be any skill in engineering because, to be honest, an engineer will turn his hand to anything that's mechanical or electrical. He has that underpinning knowledge to do that. So first of all, he's got to have an engineering trade, an apprenticeship or a level three qualification. And that can be from electrician to vehicle fitter, radar engineer, engineering as a per se.
It's the same basic box of tools, then.
Absolutely. It's just which compartment inside that box do I want to use today?
All right, so level four, is that what you're looking for?
So it's a level three for an engineer, so he has to have an engineering background, and then we take him to level four so he understands the science. So actually what you've got is you've got a guy who has been on the tools all his life, and all his life could be as short as 5 or 6 years, and has now put the tools down and delivering that to other people. So he's changing his career from he was an engineer, he's now a professional trainer.
So he's gone from doing the job to being someone who actually teaches others.
Absolutely.
And is that a particular shift in attitude or skill set?
Yes, it is. You get a lot of people. First of all, you've got to have confidence. And you will remember some of the young girls that have been in the radio studios that have left here and then gone on to greater things because they've had that confidence built up in them. And it's the same thing with a learner, really. It's or with a trainer. It's somebody who can get up, stand up in front of a class of 24 people who are just going to throw questions and throw perhaps a little bit disingenuous, but certainly ridicule his knowledge, because you're aware of the fight or flight mechanism. They don't actually want to sit and take it in. It scares them, so they'll ridicule it to fight it back. So you've got that as well. So it's having the confidence to stand up, know they know what they're knowing, and know how to put it over to somebody who doesn't want to know it.
Now, can this be taught?
Yes, it can. It takes an aptitude, and at the interview we would whittle out the aptitude, because first of all, we want to see you just stand up and deliver to us for about 10 minutes. And it's only two or three of us, to be honest. It's not as though you're going to put it in front of 90 people straight away. It's just me, my manager, and one of the customers. And we just want you to deliver to us, talk to us, for about 10 minutes on a subject. An engineering subject, normally related, but if you can't talk about it, then actually, I don't think you did very well at your engineering to start with. Any engineer can talk about his job for weeks. You know, that's all he does. So it's all about standing up and having the confidence to deliver to somebody else what you know.
So there could be someone listening to this who had never thought of going down that route, and yet by listening to what you're saying, they might think, that could be a job for me.
Absolutely. And if you look at, and I'll go back to when I was a lad, you know, you had the old guy on his walking stick, you know, didn't do very much now, but knew about lathe operation, could turn a lathe, could make jobs like there was no. Now he's got perhaps a little bit of shaking hands, his eyesight's gone a little bit, and he's not so good with the tools anymore, but actually can still tell the young lad how to do it, you know. And you've seen it yourself where the old guy sits back and just tells the young lad what to do, and the young lad is now an extension of his eyes and his arms. It doesn't have to be a 60-year-old, you know, we've got 30-year-old trainers now who can deliver this, and it's just all of a sudden the knowledge of one goes to the knowledge of 24. So where we had one engineer to do the job before, we've now got 24 of them.
Why are they so hard to find?
It's science, I think. I think it's the science and the maths. It's one of those arts that is either there or it's not. And it's not been pushed around that middle generation, pretty much our children. So you're looking at the 30, 40-year-olds. When they went through school, they weren't pushed. They very much, the 70s, 80s learners were very much brought along rather than pushed along. In the 60s, they started getting away from that a little bit. It was the free love, the free man. You do what you want to do and enjoy it. The 70s was the questioning side, where when somebody did something, you asked them, why have I got to do it and not the next man to you? And everything was questioned. The 80s, it was a little bit of, well, actually, I'm not going to question it. I just don't believe you. You've got to prove it to me. And then in the 90s, we started seeing the fallout from this, because now people are leaving and weren't being replaced.
So where are we at now?
21st century, we have got the greatest skill shortage of scientists and engineers the world has ever known.
They've just not been taught.
They've just not been taught, because the interest hasn't been there. Because we've joined a throwaway society as well, people didn't want to fix anything, because it was easier and cheaper just go and buy a replacement. You know, why should I get my hands dirty for 5 hours when for a couple of quid I can walk down the road and just get a new one now and here and now? And we've very much become a throwaway society. So engineers and scientists weren't needed, because it wasn't needed to be repaired. And we're starting to see the suffering of this now, because actually we just can't make the goods quick enough. We haven't got the resources to make them with. You know, we've only got so much tin in the world, so much steel in the world. You can't just keep making it happen, because it's either there or it's not there. It's an element. And so we need to go back to this repairing malarkey.
Does this not mean that society has changed for the worse?
That's a difficult question. It really depends upon your outlook. I suppose, without being derogatory here, but if you're on benefits lining the back road, yes, it's changed for the worse, because now if it's broken, it's lost forever. Whereas 20 years ago, if it was lost, I'd fix it.